All right. Hey, everyone. It's good to see you. See, Shauna says it is incredibly warm and beautiful in La Vida today, and it is in Pueblo West, too. I just got back from a walk a little bit ago, and it's very warm out. It's kind of hard to believe that it was winter, what, 3 days ago? Yeah. And all that snow I talked about this morning has already melted in La Vida. It melted really fast because it was just a cold front passing through, right? So here we are for the spiritual teaching of Ramana Maharshi. And we're on page 105, and the last page in the book is 107. So we're really near the end of this particular book. We're starting at the bottom of page 105. It says, and this is the devotee asking a question, should I then consider Sri Bhagavan as talking to me in a waking, dreaming, sleeping state? And I think probably in order to really look at that question, we need to go back and look at the last paragraph of the previous answer. Ramana Maharshi was referring to the enlightened one when he said, his is the ever waking state because he is awake to the eternal self. His is the ever-dreaming state, because to him the world is no better than a repeatedly presented phenomenon of dream. His is the ever-sleeping state, because he is at all times without the body am I consciousness. And as I mentioned at the end of the audio last week, when he says his is the ever-sleeping state, because he is at all times without the body, am I consciousness. He's comparing it to when we're in deep sleep. You know, when we're in deep sleep, we're not thinking, I am the body. So to the same degree that we are not thinking, I am the body when we're in deep sleep, that is the degree to which the enlightened one never thinks that thought. And again, he calls it the ever-dreaming state because the enlightened one is totally aware that the world is just a dream constantly being presented, constantly being created, actually, by consciousness. And in that way, constantly being presented. And then he's in the ever-waking state because he is awake to his eternal self. So that's how the answer ended last time. And so, again, that's what the devotee is referring to when he asks, should I then consider Sri Bhagavan as talking to me in a waking, dreaming, sleeping state? It's kind of like saying, are you enlightened? or do you experience the state you just described to me? And so Ramana Maharshi says, because your conscious experience is now limited to the duration of the extraversion of the mind, you call the present moment the waking state, whereas all the while your mind has been asleep to the self, and therefore you are now really fast asleep. It's kind of interesting, but it doesn't surprise me. My thought when the person asked, should I then consider Sri Bhagavan as talking to me in a waking, dreaming, sleeping state? My thought that I did not say out loud was, Ramana Maharshi is not going to respond in an I am enlightened way. I don't recall Ramana Maharshi ever responding that way. Nisargadatta will. Nisargadatta will say, I do not see a world at all and all that kind of stuff. But Ramana Maharshi is much more subtle and he doesn't ever seem to refer to himself in that way. And in fact, there's a story about Ramana Maharshi. He was out building a wall, I think, because when he was younger, he physically worked like everyone else. You know, I'm sure the body, it feels good when the body is working, right? So he was out there building a wall, and there were some people who had heard of Ramana Maharshi, and they came to the ashram looking for Ramana Maharshi. And of course, since Ramana Maharshi was out building a wall, there was nobody, in his seat in the meditation hall, so they couldn't find him. And so they came up to Ramana Maharshi, who was building a wall, but they didn't know what he looked like, so they didn't know that was him. And they asked him a question that went something like, can you tell us where the master is, or something like that? And I don't remember what answer Ramana Maharshi gave at all. I could go look it up, but it's not important. What is important is he did not say, I am the master. And the people left him still looking for the master, right? And later someone said to him, well, why didn't you tell them, you know, that it was you? And his basic response was, what, you expect me to say that I'm the master, or you expect me to say that I'm the enlightened one? So he didn't refer to himself that way. So when this person asked the question, you know, are you telling me that you're speaking to me from that state? I didn't really expect Ramana Maharshi to give a direct answer to the question. And indeed he didn't. Instead of talking about his experience, he pointed to the questioner's experience. And he said, because your conscious experience is now limited to the duration of the extraversion of the mind. The duration of the extraversion of the mind is when the mind is looking out at objects, primarily during the what we call the waking state, when we're not in bed sleeping, right? The waking state. However, there can also be conscious experience, as you know, in the nighttime dreaming state. Because then, again, the mind is still extroverted. It still at least thinks that it's looking outward at objects, right? And so our experience, our conscious experience, is limited to when the mind is extroverted. When the mind is introverted during deep sleep, we do not have a conscious experience at all. So it says, because your conscious experience is now limited to the duration of the extroversion of the mind, you call the present moment the waking state, whereas all the while your mind has been asleep to the self, and therefore you are now really fast asleep. In a very kind and gentle way, he's really telling the man, you are fully enmeshed in ignorance. You have no awareness of truth. But he's using the example of sleep. And so the man replies, to me, sleep is mere blankness. And Ramana Maharshi says, that is so. Because your waking state is a mere effervescence of the restless mind. I'm going to look up effervescence. To give off bubbles. Let me make sure I spelled that correct. That's funny if that's what it means. To give off bubbles. Effervescence, to give off bubbles. So it can also mean enthusiasm, but I think it probably means to give off bubbles, to be absolutely honest. If we listen to this again, he says, your waking state is a mere effervescence of the restless mind. So, you know, the restless mind is the action, and the phenomenon that we see are the bubbles, right? It's the giving off bubbles. It's the effervescence of the restless mind. And of course, we know that masters are always telling us that if the mind is still, really still, we would see no world, right? That there's a direct relationship between the activity of the mind and the world. So again, Ramana Maharshi says, the man says, to me, sleep is a mere blankness. And Ramana Maharshi says, that is so. So again, although we see lots of things here, I mean, there's lots of things in my office. My office is a very full place. You know, there's even a stack of things here I need to file, which I might try and get to while Shauna is teaching, because it's like a month's worth of filing that needs to be done. there's books laying around. There's office supplies laying around. There's a lot here. I mean, I could probably spend at least an hour describing my office. There's so much stuff here to describe And he's referring to that as a mere blankness. A mere blankness. He says, because your waking state is a mere effervescence of the restless mind. But what that means is all of this is covering up what's meaningful. So all of this is blankness. All of this is not really seen at all. You know, and if you imagine clear water for a moment, you know, you can kind of see through clear water. You know, you might see through, and if you're underwater swimming, you might see through the clear water and see another swimmer or see a fish or something like that. But if that wet water is full of bubbles, you can't see, right? You can't see. And so that's what he's really telling us, is that this is actually a type of blankness. Even though we think this is something, this is actually a type of blankness. It's like the bubbles in the water. We cannot see because of this. So again, the devotee says, to me, sleep is a mere blankness. And Ramana Maharshi says, this is so because your waking state is a mere effervescence of the restless mind. The devotee says, what I mean by blankness is that I am hardly aware of anything in my sleep. It is for me the same as non-existence. And Ramana says, but you did exist during your sleep. Which is true. I mean, you know, why use an argument that isn't a valid argument? You know, it's not a valid argument to say I did not exist in my sleep. But you did, you know, you did. And the man says, if I did, I was not aware of it. And Ramana Maharshi says, you do not mean to say on all seriousness, you ceased to exist in your sleep. And then it says Ramana Maharshi laughed. If you went to sleep as Mr. X, did you get up from it as Mr. Y? In other words, what Ramana Maharshi is pointing to, although he's joking here, and it's funny, we don't see him joking a lot with his questioners, but even though it's like a little bit of Nisargadatta coming out of Ramana Maharshi here. A little bit of smart aleckness coming out. But what Ramana Maharshi is saying is, inside, deep inside, you know, not in the mind, but in awareness, you know you continue to exist when you sleep. You know that. You know there's a continuity of you that does not disappear when you sleep. And so to argue that you know, as far as you know, you don't exist when you sleep is ridiculous. It's a ridiculous argument, because everyone knows that they exist when they sleep. Everyone knows there's a continuity of you. And everyone knows that, again, when you wake up, you're going to be the same you were when you went to bed. Like, it's ridiculous to argue anything else. You know, you're ignoring your knowledge that is inherent within you, right? Nobody's ever told you, nobody's ever had to tell you that you exist when you sleep, right? It's not something you had to go to school and learn. Oh, you mean I exist when I'm asleep? You know, this is an inherent knowledge. And so the devotee says, I know my identity perhaps by an act of memory. And I guess what he probably means is, when I wake up, I remember who I am. But when I'm asleep, I do not know who I am. And Ramana Maharshi says, granting that, how is it possible unless there is a continuity of awareness? And of course, Ramana Maharshi isn't pointing at the person. In fact, you know, I'm sure that earlier he basically said that the person doesn't exist in deep sleep, because he said that the Jnani, or the enlightened one, is in the ever-sleeping state because he is at all times without the body and my consciousness. So Ramana Maharshi is well aware that when we're asleep, I am not the body, I am not the personality, I am not the mind, I am none of that, right? I am none of that. But I still exist. See, that's the point. All of that can disappear. And the knowledge that you exist, the knowledge that you are, does not disappear. And this is the point he's trying to make. But I think sometimes these conversations do go round and round a little bit, because either A, the devotees just aren't ready to understand this, or B, they're not willing. You know, sometimes I think devotees like to kind of argue with sages a little bit. So he says, I know my identity perhaps by an act of memory. And Ramana Maharshi says, granting that, how is it possible unless there is a continuity of awareness? The devotee says, but I was unaware of that awareness. And many people have this belief. Many people have this belief that when I am asleep, I am unaware. I am unconscious. They may agree, yes, I do not fear that I die when I'm asleep. Yes, I know that I continue to exist, but yet I am fully unaware. Ramana Maharshi says to that statement, no. Again, the devotee said, but I was unaware of that awareness. And Ramana Maharshi says, no. Who says you are unaware in sleep? It is your mind. But there was no mind in your sleep. In other words, how could the mind be aware? Because the mind was absent. Of what value is the testimony of the mind about your existence or experience during sleep? Seeking the testimony of the mind to disprove your existence or awareness during sleep is just like calling your son's evidence to disprove your birth. Right? I mean, your son was not there at your birth, right? So as far as he's concerned, you know, maybe it didn't happen. The mind is not there when you're in deep sleep. It is not aware of the deep sleep. That is true, right? That is true. And in fact, one of the things that I really like about meditation, again, I don't fall asleep much anymore. I used to all the time. And when I fell asleep before, I don't even talk about before. Let's forget about before. If I do fall asleep during meditation now, I never lose awareness. I am aware of the sleeping. And so as a result of that, I completely trust that the enlightened one is aware of the deep sleep. The reason that we're not aware of the deep sleep is that we're still attached to the mind as the tool of knowing. And so if the mind doesn't know it, we say it doesn't exist. But if I can be aware of sleep while I'm in meditation, and I think the reason I'm aware of sleep when I'm in meditation is because in meditation, I get in touch with awareness, right? I mean, that's what I'm doing in meditation. I'm seeking awareness and attempting to abide there. So I am actually abiding before the mind. So when the mind falls asleep, the mind can fall completely asleep and I am in awareness. When I go to sleep at night, I don't attempt to go into awareness. I just go to sleep. Right? But if I was awake to awareness all the time, I would be before the mind. And therefore, when the mind went to sleep, I would be aware of the sleep. And this is what Ramana Maharshi is explaining, although, of course, the devotee isn't eagerly accepting it. But again, the devotee says, but I was unaware of that awareness in sleep. And Ramana Maharshi says, no. Who says you are unaware in sleep? It is your mind. But there was no mind in your sleep. Of what value is the testimony of the mind about your existence or experience during sleep? Seeking the testimony of the mind to disprove your existence or awareness during sleep is just like calling your son's evidence to disprove your birth. Again, sounds a little more like Nisargadatta than Ramana Maharshi, doesn't it? He says, do you remember? I told you once previously that existence and awareness are not two different things, but one and the same. Right? And many of you who have read my tips in Gentle Healing know that I call it life awareness, often life hyphen awareness, because they are the same thing. And in fact, when I first started developing the four principles of God, I made a mistake because I thought, well, I didn't yet know the difference between consciousness and awareness. This is where the mistake came from. And so I thought awareness was not eternal. but I knew life had to be eternal. So I used to call the first principle of God life, and the second principle of God awareness. And then I called the third principle of God consciousness, meaning subject-object awareness, and the fourth principle of God illusion. But as I contemplated these more, I realized I had that wrong. First of all, I realized I needed the creative principle in there. And I also realized that life awareness are one. So I reworked the principles of God. So the first principle of God is life awareness. The second principle of God is consciousness. Not, and doesn't have to be subject-object consciousness, but it is a sense of self. It is what Nisargadatta calls the I am presence. It's a sense of self. And then the third principle of God is the creative mechanism. And then the fourth principle of God is illusion. So life and awareness are the same thing. Life and existence, awareness and existence are the same thing. So do you remember, I told you once previously that existence and awareness are not two different things, but one and the same. Well, if for any reason you feel constrained to admit the fact that you existed in sleep, be sure you were also aware of that existence. What you were really unaware of in sleep was your bodily existence. You are confounding this bodily awareness with the true awareness of the self, which is eternal. So again, if you have inherent knowledge, which we all do, like I said, I see George says he's late. I'm late for a very important date. Welcome, George. We already talked about the fact that we all have this inherent knowledge. Nobody had to teach us that when we went to sleep, we still existed. None of us ever had a fear of if I go to sleep, I'm dead, right? We just knew we existed. He says that knowledge that you exist when you're asleep, that is awareness. It's not subject-object awareness, like when the mind is extroverted during the waking state or the dreaming state. But awareness and existence are one. And that knowledge that you exist, even when asleep, that's true awareness. You know, true awareness is way, way in the background of what most of us think awareness is. In fact, when we were looking at Bernadette Roberts during Gentle Healing, she said that what she came to realize as awareness was not what humans think of as awareness, right? There's only like a little bit left, so I'm going to finish this in 4 minutes, I think, and we'll be done with this book. Prajnana, which is the source of I am-ness, ever subsists unaffected by the three transitory states of the mind, thus enabling you to retain your identity unimpaired. So the source of I am, that which is before I am, which we would call the first principle of God, is not affected by going to sleep, waking up, or dreaming, right? It is not affected by that. He says, in fact, let me look up this word real quick, prajnana. I don't want to skip it just because I'm trying to hurry. Except it's not here, so... full consciousness. It is here, full consciousness. So full consciousness is also beyond the three states because it can subsist without them and in spite of them. So he's saying both the first principle of God, the source of the I am, and the second principle of God, they're both prior to the three states, which means even if you awaken to consciousness, you're going to be aware of your sleep because it will be your sleep will be an object that you're able to look at just like it is for me in meditation, right? It's the mind that falls asleep. He says it is the reality that you should seek during your so-called waking state by tracing the I thought to its source. Intense practice in this inquiry will reveal that the mind and its three states, are unreal, and that you are the eternal, infinite consciousness of pure being, the self or the heart. So again, he's saying that sleeping, dreaming, and waking are true for the mind only. Only the mind dreams. Only the mind wakes up and thinks it's awake in this world. And only the mind goes into deep sleep. That consciousness and the absolute, both of which are before the mind, do not sleep, do not dream, and do not perceive themselves as in a world. And it's through self-inquiry that we will discover this fact for ourselves. And you know what that is? That's the end of this book. So next week I won't be here because I will be on vacation. Next week what's going to happen is Shauna is going to be here during my time slot, because during her time slot, the May guest satsang will begin. So she'll be here next week. The week after that, when I'm back, guess what I'm going to do? I am going to begin two new books, What is the Self and the Experience of No Self. And I may even occasionally point to another book of Bernadette's if that feels good while we're going through this process. So to me, this is the most extreme teaching I've ever gone into. So we're heading into the extreme in 2 weeks. And the Guiding Light, in case you don't know, is called is really a inspired book study with Regina Don Akers. So this will be just the next book that we go into. And thanks for coming, even if you were late.